Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Yud. Pesachim Daf Yud, heavy daf, very geshmaka daf, a little smorgasbord of different gemaras throughout Shas, all related to shilas that we're going to have. Roughly 15, 16, 17 shilas. Some of the shilas are inverted of each other. If you go with the total number, it's about 17 shilas that the Gemara is going to have with regard to Batikas Chametz. We love to have Tess Amid Beis. We love to have the two dots around 50 lines off the bottom of the page. Just one quick point from yesterday's shir. We had discussed a Kayan leaning over the well to see if the Nafil that was in the well was a Zachar and a Keva. And we spoke about the irony where he's coming to see if it was Zachar and a Keva because they're making Afkmina, whether the Isha in question has a 40-day Tumas Leida period, 7 for Zachar and 33 days of Meitara following, or for the Keva, 14 days and 60 days following. As he's coming, he's going to check to see Zachar and Keva. He himself should be worried about his own problems of Tumah because the Kayan's not allowed to become Tumah. So he said, I forgot which Pshatim we spoke at yesterday, but the Rishayim discuss that what's going on with the Kayan, what's he thinking? So obviously he could be forgot himself, but the Kayan, the Taisus, I think we spoke of Taisus at the bottom of Amun Aleph, Testament Aleph says, Baam Taisfus says that we're talking about a Kain Shaita. He's a Kain Shaita because what's he doing? Risky becoming tummy. We also spoke out from the Rishayim. Rashi seems to have heard it. Taisfus also addressed it a little bit that maybe we're talking about a Kain who's related to the Nafil. We know the Halacha is either the Nafil wasn't the Nafil that belonged to this Shifcha, it belonged to the Balabayas, and she, the Shifcha was just the one that was disposing of it, or somehow the Kain was related. And we know when a Kain's related, the Halacha, the Kain is Mechuyiv to become, is a mitzvah Kain to become tummy, to, unless he's a Kain Gadol, to one of his close relatives that pass on. So therefore, the Kohen was related. That could be a case. So after the shir yesterday, last night actually, Lizer reached out and asked a question on the Gemara. Then in the Gemara's debate back and forth whether we have to assume the Kohen's tummy or not, why don't we take into account whether the Kohen was covering the entire airspace of the hole? If he's not covering that, meaning the Gemara's shallow is solely focused on whether or not the Achbar or the Chulda or the Bardalus went and removed the Nafil from the area. Why don't we focus on whether or not the Kohen was covering the whole area to begin with? Maybe even if the Nafil's there, but the Kohen's not covering the whole area, that would itself be a reason to be Mekel as well. Our Gemara doesn't seem to address that side, but the Rishayim, Yom Chavin Laser, the Rishayim do use that as a third possibility, that similar type of Svara, why the Kohen was looking over the well. The Kohen thought he'd be able to look over the well without hovering over the Nafil. He knows there's a Din of Tumah. He knows he has to be careful. He thought either because it's wide enough or the angle that he's looking from an angle, but similar to your idea, the Kohen thought he can view it without getting in trouble with being hovering over the Nafil, and circumstances turned out that when he leaned over the well, he ended up covering the whole well. But again, that was at least his plan to begin with. So again, they're not addressing it where you addressed it. For the Gemara's Svara, for the Gemara's resolution, they're addressing it just even to set up the case. Okay, now before we start the Gemara, just to quickly go over, again, we're by two dots, just to go over what we've gathered till now in these, you know, in the more, we call the more basic eight plot of Pesachim till now, which is there's a chiv bedika. The chiv bedika is drabbanim. Machlekes is Rashi Taisus. Why we do bedika? Meaning, why the drabbanim? Because really, Matar you can do bittel. Matar you do bittel and you're fine. And that's both according to Rashi and according to Taisus. Everyone agrees. The Gemara really, the Talmud says that the bedika is only with drabbanim. The machlekes is, so why would the drabbanim sakim bedika? Rashi says because by Rabbi Matzah was scared that you're gonna kind of have either charata, or you're not going to have a full-fledged bittel. You're not going to maintain your bittel because you're going to see a nice piece and give it chashivas. Once you give it chashivas, your bittel won't remain in full proper standing. You'll be over by a matzah, maybe only momentarily. We have to learn a little bit later. I think it's Rav Zion or Davav Zion. Maybe it's only momentarily. But the point is, you will have an isra by a matzah because if you find something nice, you'll end up negating or not being able to still rely on your proper bittel. That's Rashi. Taisa says, no, it's Shem and we're going to come to eat it. The concern is that one may come to eat the chametz, outright chametz itself. Not once you mevatlam, bittles like hefku we spoke out, once you mevatlam, it's not a problem. The problem is a bayra, a matzah. The problem would be one may come to eat it. Okay, but both Rashis agree that the din bedika is rabbinic, not deraisa. The question is why? Okay, that's going to be a very important point throughout a lot of these shilas. We'll try to point that. We'll circle back to right away in the first shilas that comes up, and then subsequently in at least three or four other shilas, this notion about the bedikah being the darbanan, and the second shilas actually comes up as well, and a couple more shilas later comes up to say that the bedikah is darbanan. We'll keep it in mind, and we'll point it out as we go through the shilas. Says the Gemara, Shnei Tziburim, if you have, sorry, Teisha Tziburim, if you have nine piles of matzah. 9 paws of matzah, shematzah, vechash of chametz. 9 paws of matzah, 1 paw of chametz. V'yasa achbar v'shakal, and achbar, a mouse comes. Now, if you notice, we've actually been speaking about different critters throughout the past few blah. A couple of blah ago, we had a akrav in the wall. You scared that to do bdik in the wall, in the hole in the wall, because maybe you'll be bitten by a scorpion. That scorpion is much more dangerous as nechashim and akravim. That's when the animals where their bites could be deadly, right? So that's akrav, that's a scorpion. Yesterday's daf, we focused a lot on chulda, that was a weasel, which we'll see later in today's daf will come up again. The chulda is a larger, chulda, I don't want to say chulda is quite like a cat, but it's larger than a mouse. The Gemara is going to describe that the chulda could actually, you know, capture the mouse and eat the mouse itself. So that's the chulda we had yesterday. We also had a bardalus, the polecat. And today, a lot of our Gemara is going to focus on achbar, actually to the extent, I'll speak it already, that the extent that some of the chreinim point out, not so much on a lamdish level, but more on a machshavadik level, that achbar represents achzarius. Achbar represents, so it's funny, I always thought cats, because you ever see the way a cat treats a mouse, that a cat represents achzarius, not a steer, maybe that's also true, but achbar represents achzarius, and we're going to have many shalos over here of a achbar potentially bringing chametz back into a house that was already checked. And again, if you want to get into deeper conversation, it could fit with the whole idea of chametz itself is Sar Shabbat Issa, is getting rid of the chametz of our bodies, and the achbar is representing that achzarius of trying to fight, push back, of like the ultimate power of the Yetzirah, of the Satan trying to push back. But even if you don't go so deep, even if you leave it just on a base level, the achbar represents achzarius. If the person stresses to clean his house for Pesach, the achbar is the one, the mouse, that we keep having issues that perhaps he brought chametz back in. That's potentially why, as some achrayim explain, that's why the Agamar chooses achbar for all these shells. Okay, but the case of here is you have 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz, and again, back in the day, matzah and chametz didn't necessarily look that different because they made thicker matzahs. They're more like lafa-like, more bread-like matzah, just didn't rise. Thus, achbar v'shakal, achbar came and took from one of the piles, and we're not sure if ledini matzah shakal, chametz shakal, we're not sure which pile the achbar took from. Hain, you know what this is? This is the chazara, and here we start our travels to Shas. This is mamish a chazara of the case of Teisha Chanuyas. Let's go remind ourselves outside, and then we'll read it inside. The Teisha Chanuyas story is, you have a row of 9 stores. 9 stores of kosher meat, and 1 store that sells treif meat. So a total of 10 stores, 9 selling kosher meat, 1 store selling treif meat. And we're not sure which store this particular piece of meat came from. So the halacha is as follows. It makes a very big difference. Obviously, we have a concept of rive, but it makes a big difference when and how we apply rive. If the meat is found outside of the 10 stores, like a distance 20 feet away. So obviously someone went and brought it there. An animal, something went and got the meat from the store areas to this area outside. 20 feet is lavdafka, but it's outside of the stores. It's away from the stores already. If somehow it got there, but the bottom line is, I found it when it's already separated. It's perish. It's going to be the key word. It's already separated from the stores. What do? I say, go bus arrive. This meat came from one of the stores, the rave of the stores. Rave of the stores here, 9 out of 10 were kosher. Only one was not kosher, and I can assume the meat is kosher. That's the classic din of rave, called the parsh, muruba parsh, whatever, it's something separated from a group. We say it's separated from the rave, and I assume that this piece of meat is like the rave. However, the more mechudish the katsad is the flip side. What if the meat did not separate meaning the suffix didn't come into my vantage point when the meat was already separated? I went into one of the stores, speaking all 10 stores are kosher. We used to, of course, have a store here in Toronto, a bakery called Heimish that was not kosher. Now, Baruch Hashem, in the past couple of years, Heimish was bought by a firm Yid and now became a kosher bakery. But we had a bakery with a non-Jewish name, I don't want to say it now, but very famously, which is very kosher. And we have a bakery named Heimish, which wasn't kosher. So a guy saw 10 stores, he thought they all were kosher. Somehow, he didn't realize that the non-kosher store had a kosher name as well. He thought they all were kosher. He went into one of the stores, not necessarily that one. He didn't know which one he went into. And he bought a piece of meat and he left. So this guy bought a piece of meat from one of the 10 stores and left. And now he finds out one of the stores aren't kosher. What's the halacha? We don't say kol deparsh, mur deparsh. What do we say? We say kol kavua kemechza mechza. Since he went and removed the meat from the matzah of the place of suffix. Again, the suffix is you have 9 kosher stores and 1 non-kosher store. He went and removed the item from the situation, from the kavua, from the kvias, from its set place amongst the suffix. We say 50-50. It's not 50-50. It's really 9 out of 10. So pashtas, this is a gzeris hakasav, that when we have a person removing an item from the group where you have the suffix, we don't allow rave to take effect. We say kol kavua kemechza mechza. I mean, pashtas, it is a There is a Gzeiras Kasev. It is Gzeiras Kasev. There is one of the, I forgot what it was again. There's one of the Achreinim once explained that it could be in Lamdas. There is a logic to it, but we're going to go with the Pashtas that it's a Gzeiras Kasev. So, we say it's a 50-50 Suffolk in that case. So, same thing, by the way, let's say you have 9, 10 animals, and you're not sure if one of them, you know, wasn't kosher, the other 9 were kosher. If one of the animals are perish, and you want to debate whether the animal's kosher, you say, called the parish, we're parish. This animal that went off on its own, it's separated from the rife, and it's based on the rife, and therefore it's kosher. If you go and take one of the animals, same story, it's like going to take the meat, you call the book, and therefore you assume that it's 50-50, it remains 50-50 suffix, whether it's kosher or not, and you cannot rely on its kosher. So, says the Gemara, let us apply that same logic in our case. If you have the mouse who took from one of these piles, right, if a mouse took a piece from one of the piles, and we don't know which pile that piece originally came from, pirish. So the Gemara explains the case. Pirish. If the piece was already separated from the piles, v'yas achpar v'shakal, that's when the achpar came and took it. So I'm sorry, I skipped. The first answer was ha'inush teisha chanuyas. When the achpar took from one of the piles, teisha chanuyas, we say it's like going to take from one of the 10 stores, and it's considered 50-50 suffix. You would have to do a new bedikah on the house. That is the first scenario. The second scenario is pirish. What if one of the pieces of a piece of chametz was already separated from the piles, and the achbar took that piece that already was separated from the piles? He went and then took it to the house. Then you'd have the kula of kol deparsh b'parsh, and you would not have to do another bedika on the house that was checked. That's the gemara hainu seifa. That's the seifa of that very same brisa. The tiny milim to brisa. Nine stores. They all sell kosher meat. Then you have a tenth store, the mecheres pasanuel, that sells the non kosher meat. It sells nevela. The guy went and purchased meat from one of these stores. Vanity day mesa. Lachash doesn't know which one store he purchased from. The halacha is sveika aser. The suffix aser could be viewed as a 50-50 suffix. Vanimsa. But if you find the meat outside the store already, halach acharev you go basarev. So that's exactly the shaila here. If the achbar went to the piles, the various piles, and took from one of the piles, then we say 50-50 suffix. If the achbar took a piece that already had been separated, then we say you go basarev and you don't have to do bedika. So we just explained the mar, by the way, according to Rashi, with all shaila is you have a house that already was baduk, and the achbar is bringing in a piece for one of these piles, and our question is, do you have to do a new bedika? That's a rational answer. Faces has various questions. We don't really have time, and we're really pressed for time because there's so many cases today. But just to speak out Taisa's outcome, Taisa's a few kashas on this. Taisa's main kasha is Al-Khair, we're talking about, he goes Makatsa Katsa. We're talking about Chametz. We're talking about Abdik. Abdik is only Darabanan. And the other shallows over there by the meat, so it's the right, so how can you compare? Taisus ultimately learns, and then he goes, flips the other way, says, I mean, perhaps our case, if more chummer, ultimately Taisus learns the shallow of whether you can eat the piece or not. The shallow isn't about whether you have to bedik on the house, which is going to be clearly the way we're going to learn with Rashi. Most of the other shallows coming up in the next 14, 15 shallows are also going to be about whether you require new bedikas, so we're going to stick with that mouth with Rashi. But Taisus learns over there, the shallow is whether or not you can eat the piece. Do you have to assume that the piece of the mouse burned, meaning on Pesach, do you have to assume the piece of the mouse burned in is chametz, and therefore, potentially chametz, 50-50 suffix, and you cannot eat it? Or could you assume, based on Rav, that it's matzah, and you're allowed to actually eat on Pesach? That's a Taisa learning, which would make it a deraistic shayla about eating this piece itself on Pesach, as a deraisa shayla of eating chametz or chalila, or eating matzah on Pesach. Whereas according to Rashi, the shayla of needing a new bedika, that's clearly more of a rabbinic shayla. Okay, so that's our next case. Shei Tziburim. Two piles, not ten, two. Achash matzah, achash chametz. There's two piles, one of matzah, one of chametz. And in this case, instead of having two houses, one house in front of you, there's two houses in front of you. Echa baduk. Again, one house was already checked for chametz. It's already baduk. Ve'echa shena baduk. And one house wasn't checked. So what happened? V'asu shech marim. Two mice came. Acha shoka matzah, acha shoka chametz. One grabbed from the pile of matzah. One grabbed from the pile of chametz. They ran into the two houses. Each mouse ran into one house, respectively. Each mouse went into one house. But we don't know, Leadin and Hail. We don't know if the mouse with the chametz in his mouth went into the house that was checked, or if he went into the house that wasn't checked, and vice versa. The house without the house with the matzah, the achbar with the matzah, went into which house it went into. We don't know. So, Hainu Shtei Kupas. This is similar to the case of two boxes, where we see a massive kula, the Tanya. We learned that Brisa Shtei Kupas, Achashulam, Chulam, Achashulam. If we have two boxes, one box of chulam, one box of chuma, Lufneim Shtei Sum, and outside of the boxes were two saws, two like saw containers with produce. Achashulam, Achashulam, and one of the one saw was chulam, one saw was chuma. And what happened? It fell from the two saws, some produce from each of the saws fell into each of the boxes. So, respectively, from one saw fell into one box, from another saw fell into the other box, and we don't know which fell into which. We say, these fell into those. What do we do? Mutarim, we say it's all mutter, meaning the box on the bottom that was truma, we say remains truma, and that which fell in from the saw was from the pile of trumas of saw. And when we say the box of chulin, what fell into it was from the box of, was from the saw of chulin. We say that things just Things just work out, and everything's fine, which is a bit cool, obviously. We'll get there in a second. Shani Aymer, Chulun, say Chulun off, the Chulun fell into the Chulun, the Chumas, Chumun off, we say everything maintains like it's Chazaka, which actually is a discussion we didn't even get back to in the last Gemara about the house that was ready, Baduk. What happened to the element of Chazaka? Tais again addresses that as well. That's where he goes to the flip side. That by the house, it was Becheskas Baduk. That Chazaka should play a role in saying whether or not we're concerned about the Akbar having brought Chametz or Matz into the house. So here also, well, we see in this Bryce also. I mean, you could introduce the element of Chazaka. Over here, we're saying by the two boxes, we're saying that the Truma box remains Truma and full of Truma, and the Chulun box remains Chulun without any Truma in it. And we say we can assume the Kula, which is a little bit of a jump. So the Gemara wants to say, let's apply that same jump to us too. You have two houses. One house was Baduk, one house wasn't Baduk. You have two mice. One's carrying Matz, one's carrying Chametz. Let's assume the house that was not Baduk is the house where the mice brought in, the mouse brought in the Chametz. You have to be taking the house regardless. So now you have one more thing to check for. And let's say the house which it was Baduk, that's where the mouse with the matzah went in, so it remains Baduk, says the Gemara, not so fast. Eimad Amin Shani Eimer, what did we say over there? Over there by the backs of Chuma Chulin, you know, we said Shani Eimer, I say, I'm allowed to be Meiklan, just assume that the Chuma fell to the Chuma, Chul fell to the Chuma, top of Yerim and Aleph, you know why? But Chuma Darabanan. Over there, we're talking about Chuma Darabanan is when we say that I can assume the Kula. What's Truma Darbanan, by the way? Rashi says, Bezman Azeh, Truma Darbanan. Rashi also could have said, Rashi Shizan Shah says, that only Daga, and Tetz agrees, only Daga Tirish Fietzer, only by wine, grain, and oil, is there then Truma Daraisa. All other Paris, only Truma Darbanan. So Rashi says, Truma Darbanan Azeh, which is Darbanan. You could also say that the Bryce is talking about Truma of Shar Paris, which is Darbanan. Rambam argues and says that Truma of Shar Paris is also Truma Daraisa. So Rambam would fit very well with this Rashi, ironically enough, that we're talking about Truma Darbanan Azeh. That would be the explanation why it would be Truma Darbanan. Okay. By the way, says Gemara, when do we say this Dafka Truma Darbanan? The Chametz Daraisa, mi amino Chametz Daraisa. The Chametz Daraisa, can we make this cool and say, Shani Eimer, I say that the mouse with the Chametz went into the unchecked house, the non-Baduk house, and the mouse with the matzah went into the Baduk house? Can I make such a kula, such a leniency by a din Daraisa? Says Gemara, yes. Why? Chazar, what we said before, when we spoke, when we started. The din b'dikas Rabbanan, granted, Chametz is Daraisa. But there's no din b'dikas b'daraisa, but Daraisa is to a bittel. Bittel b'al masagi. The whole din b'dikas Rabbanan. So for the Rabbanan b'dikas, I could rely on saying that the mouse with the matzah went into the checked house, and the mouse with the Chametz went into the non-checked, the non-Baduk house. As it were, atu b'dikas Chametz Daraisa, Rabbanani, the b'daraisa bittel b'al masagila. So the Gemara answers that I've had the b'dik itself is Rabbanan, not Daraisa, and therefore I could rely on this kula of saying that the mouse, that the matzah, the mouse with the chametz only went to the house which wasn't Baduk. Okay, next case, third scenario. Tzibur echad yav shayla? Tzibur echad shel chametz ulfarash tei batam badukim. Let's say I have one pile of chametz, and in front of this pile of chametz, there's two houses, both houses were Baduk. The asa achbar, and the achbar came, and Vishak, you know, the truth is, before I forget, I mean, we already hit the main Gemara about Roiv called the Parsh Ruba Parsh and not. So let's just go back there for a second. No, we're that was already two Gemaras. That was already the first Shaila. But just to go back, there's a famous Shaila from the Chashuk Chemet, just like Shmaka, general Shaila. When we talk about anytime we talk about the Sugya of Roiv, the Chashuk Chemet asks that for, he brings, he doesn't ask himself, he brings from the Mordechai and Chulin. Mordechai and Chulin has a very a nice Chap Kasha that you're telling me that whenever you have Kol Kavua, when something's fixed, you say Mechza Mechza. Only when it's Parsh, you go Basa Reiv. We know by Bezdin, we go Basa Reiv. You go Reiv Deis and Bezdin is how we Paskin. Right? That's the whole concept of Bezdin. You have odd numbers, you go Basa Reiv. That's the clear setup of how it works with a Bezdin. Ask the Mordechai, I understand. All the Dayanim sit together. They're Kol Kavua. Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza. We shouldn't be able to apply the Din of Reiv. I see somebody shaking your head, but it's very good to shake your head. It's good. What's the shot? What's the connection? Come on, you need to say a Svara. We don't like to shake. What's a Svara? Why it should be different? So Mordechai says that the words that come out of the mouth of the Dayanim is Parish. And Kol the Parish, we're Parish. So he does not fall off the way he's shaking his head and say, I don't like the connection in the first place. He says that no, you have to come on to a Parish over here, but maybe what you want to get to, and Leon sees bothering you, maybe what you get to is Reb Chaim's answer to this question, and his answer, first of all, he addresses the Mordechai's question, don't be so fast dismissive, but he answers the question with more of a lumdus, and he says, there's a chilik between Holchanach HaRoiv and Ruba Kekula. There's a chilik between Holchanach HaRoiv and Ruba Kekula, very big aside. Holchanach HaRoiv is the pshat that if I don't know what the status of. And like in our case, if something is, you go based on what the rave is, and that's how you determine how what we consider this item is. This thing that was parched from the rave, we say it's whatever the rave is, that's what it is. However, Rubik Kekula is a different type of logic. Rubik Kekula is when I have a rave in a certain location, and I want to judge what the status of these items, of this situation is, the rave makes rave kukulai, and I treat everything like the rave. We find this, this really gets to, I don't want to start getting to a fully separate shmuz of nepach isli is hetter. We have a concept of when I have a mixture, am I allowed to eat every piece of the mixture? That would be a concept of nepach isli is hetter. Even if there's isser here, the power of rave allows me to treat the isser like hetter. Nepach isli is hetter. That's how we take it. But even leaving that aside, the idea of ruba kukulai is the rave conquers the miyat, and I treat everything like the rave. Says Reb Chaim, when we're talking about Dayanim and Abezdin, it's not Hulchan Achan Rave. It's not that same word that we use elsewhere. It's Rubei Kekulai. And the Sar Rubei Kekulai is, I convert the miyat into the rave, which is a different, a little bit of, again, same word of rave, but a little bit of different application of the power of rave. Interesting idea to keep in mind from Reb Chaim. Okay. Says Gemara now.
We're establishing a fact. When it comes to Rav Bezdin, it's the Dayanim Halachim. We're not trying to establish a fact. The fact don't matter.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. That's a very good chiluk. What Leon's saying is that one is a question. Me, I think if I could just paraphrase the words a little bit, in metzias, it's a question. What was the metzias here? What's the metzias? So the rave can help me determine what the metzias was. Is this kosher? Is it not kosher? Is this for this type of animal? That type of animal over there? It's not a question. It's a deus. It's a question halacha. What is the right way to interpret the halacha? It's usually not a question. The best is not there to determine the metzias. They're there to determine the halacha based on what's presented to them. They all the same facts that present to them, that they determine halacha based on what's presented. That's more of an idea of deus. Maybe by deus, you don't bichlal connect to this whole rave and kol kavua kemerza merza. Good, nice chiluk. Definitely a nice chiluk. Maybe that fits with where Chaim's making a distinction. Therefore, applying a different type of rave, rubei kekulei, as opposed to halacha rave. But in a chami, a very nicely elaborated why there's a distinction between the Mordechai's Shaila of Bezdin and our classic cases over here. Okay, third Shaila. Tzibur Echad Shechametz, Ulefanav Shebatim. If you have one pile of chametz and in front of you have two houses, Baduk, and both houses were Baduk. A mouse came into chametz. The mouse came, Vade chametz, so no more are we not sure if it's chametz or not. Vade chametz, but we're not sure which house it went into. So, Hayne Sheish Vilin, says Gemara, this connects beautiful to the famous Gemara about two pathways. Sheish Vilin, the time we looked at the Mishnah. There's a mission in the fifth parak of Taurus. Shnei Shvilim, it comes up in Shas, it's quoted many times in Shas. Shnei Shvilim, Echatam, Echatam, if you have two pathways, one is Tar, one is Tamei, Vahalach, Bechamem, Vasa Taurus. Vahalach, Bechamem, Vasa Taurus, Uba, Chaveri, Vahalach, Bechani, Vasa Taurus. We have two people traversing two pathways. One pathway, we know there was a maze. What's the case about why was it Tamei? There was a maze spread across the whole width of the road. So if you walked over that road, you clearly walked over the maze. Gishmaka Chazarita, our discussion we had the other day. Pashas, we say that's Tumas Ail. He walked over a mace. He's Tumas Ail, right? Tumas, he's mile over a mace. But we had yesterday from the Rishash, from the Arsameach, we spoke out. I think it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago. We spoke out of Bechidish that when a person is mile over a mace, or a mace mile over a person, that's actually another form of Tumas Maga, not Tumas Ail, Tumas Maga. Ail is only where him and the mace are under the same roof, according to Rishash, according to Arsameach. That's Ail. When you're mile over it, that's called Maga. Either way, still Tumas, it doesn't make a difference. But just to Chazar over that very geshmaki unique point from the Rishash or Sameach. Okay, but the point is that one person has for sure Tameh, one person's Tara, they both went through, they both had a Cheskas Tara to begin with, and they both dealt with Taras afterwards. Do we say the Taras they touched are now Besafik? They certainly are Besafik Tameh. What do we do? Can we paskin that the Chazaka says they remain Tara or not? So, and for both of them to be Tara would certainly be an issue, because one of them is for sure Tameh. Says the Gemara, V'alach B'sheni V'Astaras, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Emishu Zavifei Hatzvizef Hatzai, if they each go to their own Rav, ask their own child, you know what Rav's going to tell them? Tyran. Each one has a Cheskas Tara, each one is a Suffolk V'im Tamei, we say, B'chazaka they remain Tara. Shneim V'Azachas, but both come to ask a child together, Tameim, they're both going to be Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Benka Tameim, Rabbi says in both cases, they're going to be Tamei, the Mer elaborates what the Mechleik says, Amrav V'Tamei Rabbi Yechanan, V'Vas Achas, 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 V'Vas everyone agrees for sure that they're going to be paskin tamei because you can't. It's a stira. It'll be it's going to be the bezin and the rav, the paskins that they're both tar. It's going to look like a joke. Clearly, one of them is tamei to paskin together vas achas on both of them that they're both tar. That's not an option. But b'zechazed divrei kol tarin and says more further that Rava is or Rabbi Yochanan are explaining that in the machlekes Tanakam Rav Yehuda versus Rav Yosi, if they came one after the other to three people, both shitas agree that tar when they came separately that you could paskin each one of them on an isolation. The tar when they came together and they sashal together, that was their mistake. You have to pass them both our tummy because you can't have a clearly wrong psak going out. It's going to be not like it's zilzul for bezdin. So where's the machlekes? We had a machlekes. What was the machlekes? Machlekes is where one came to ask and he asked about himself and his friend. One came to ask and he asked about himself and his friend. What's the shaila over there? Says the Gemara, the shaila is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do we say? When one comes to ask about himself and his friend, is that called, like, coming separately? And you can pass in this case, tar, and then tell him for his friend that his friend's tar also because they didn't come together? Or do we say, since he's asking about him and his friend, it's if they came together, therefore it's a problem? Rabbi Yosi, Medamile, Rabbi was the one that was Machmer, he's Medamile Basachas. He says, if they came together, because he's asking about himself and his friend. And Rabbi Yehuda, Medamile, Basachas, he says, no, Lamaisa, this guy came alone. Good, he's asking for his friend, but he came alone, and therefore you can consider it a case of Bezechazet. Actually, interesting machlekes Rashi Tosfos. When we say the guy comes and he asks for his friend, what does that mean? He came and asked for his friend. Does it mean he came and asked at once for himself and his friend? Or did he ask for himself and then immediately following ask for his friend? Right? I forgot who says, Rashi seems to say that he came and asked for his friend right away. He came and asked for himself and for his friend right away. And Tosfos says, no. It means he came and asked for himself first. And then he asked for his friend. He came for asked for himself first, and then he asked for his friend. So that would be like a bezeh chazeh in dafka in that case. But that he asked for in both at once. That would be a vayter problem. So it's again an interesting nuance to make a chilek when we're saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda this bezeh chazeh korte beisi. When we're saying korte beisi that we consider vayter a case of bevas achas. Next case, fourth case. Chametz. So going back to chametz, same story. If they came to ask a shaila about whether the house needs bedika, if the two houses came together and asked the shaila, well, you can't say for sure one of the houses needs bedika, and therefore you can't get a psak for each of them that they have a chesel baduk, and they both have to do bedika. If they came in as separately, then each house would be able to get a psak. They don't need bedika. If the one came and asked on behalf of himself and the other one, that would be told in the machlekes of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda. Fourth shaila says the Mar Safik al Safik. Suffolk all suffolk le'el heinebeka. If it's a suffolk if the mouse even went in with the chametz into the house that was searched, b'chlal, suffolk went in, we're not sure. It looks like he may have gone in the house, but we're not sure if he went in the house. That's the case of bika. Upukti Rabbi Lazar v'Rabbanan. That's the case of bika, the case of the open fields with the machlekes Rabbi Lazar v'Rabbanan. What's that machlekes done? We learned in a Mishnah again in Taharas, Hanichlis l'bika b'yom Meisik Shamim. One goes to the bika Meisik Shamim. Why is it relevant to Meisik Shamim? Meisik Shamim is when the fields are rainy season, when people aren't working their fields. Since people aren't working their fields, you don't have a rabbim. It's considered like it's more of like a yechidim going through. We know famous din when it comes to tuma, safek tuma shis rabbim. This is more we learn that from Seita. Safek tuma shis rabbim, we say is tar, lakula. Safek tuma shis yachid, we go to chumra and say is tame. So keeping that in mind, and rabbim over doesn't mean the rabbim that we had in Shabbos and Erevin, rabbim of 600,000 people, whatever dinim of rabbim we had. In the Rishonim, what's called Rabbim, we don't mean Rishus Rabbim to that extent. We just mean a place that many that there's many people going as opposed to just Yechidim. Okay, so Nichlas Abika B'Meisik Sham. One goes to B'Meisik Sham, which doesn't have many people there, and therefore it's considered a Rishus Yachid, Legami Tumma, and therefore you have Suffolk Tumma is going to be Tumma. The Tumma's other plane is you're going through a group of fields in the rainy season, and there's Tumma in one of the fields. Vamar Echad Halachti Makam Alaz. I went in this area, general area, Venedea Imnechasta B'Sesada. I went in the general area, but I'm not sure if I went to the field that contains the Tumma. Vimlechast, you're not. Rabbaz Matarba says tar, Rabbaz says tar, the Ram say tummy. Why? Shabbaz Aimer, Suffolk be a tar, Suffolk magatuma. Safik maga tuma tummy. Rabbi says a safik b'shus yachid. If you touch tuma, then avadi say safik tuma shus yachid. You go to chumri, you say tummy. But a safik if I even went into the field of safik bia, safik if I even went to the area of the tumas in the first place, then I'm going to be makel. I'm going to say you didn't go in. That's Rabbi Lezer's kula. And since there's a doubt where they went in b'chlal, therefore you go to kula and say tar. Chum argue and say no, it's still part of the same safik. Safik tuma shus yachid, and therefore you say tummy. So here too, according to Belez, we want to say by the chametz. I mean, I'm going to explain actually in a second. On the simple level, before we see Rashi, I would have said, according to Blazer, by the Chametz, we'd say, Suffolk, if the Achbar even went into the house, therefore you say it remains Baduk. Or according to Abadah, you say, no, it's still Suffolk if it went in, and therefore you have to be word, and you have to do another Bedika. Says Rashi, no. Over here, once we have this machlekes, so we're saying Rabbi Lazar and Rabbanon, and when we apply back to chametz, everyone's going to agree that you do not need to do bedika. Why? Here Rashi pulls out the card that we discussed earlier in the shir, that what? That bedika is dirabanan. We had it by the second case, the Gemara itself discussed it, by the first case we spoke it out, from Machlekes Rashi Tosfos, bedika is only dirabanan. Since bedika is only dirabanan, over there the tum is deraisa. By tum is deraisa, Machlekes Rashi Tosfos dirabanan, whether you say suffik bia, or suffik, if the person went into an area of tum or not, Rabbi says you go to kula, and Chavis says you go to chumra. Even the rabbanan say you go to chumra over there, would it be over here, where the whole bedika is dirabanan, you can go to kula, as it's like Rashi, and therefore both sides would agree. It's interesting the Gemara doesn't spell that for us, but both sides would agree, said Rashi, that by the suffik, if the achbar went in at all to the house, you assume the house remains badak, because it's badak, and you don't have to check again because the whole din of bedikah is rabbanan anyway. Says the Gemara further, al ubadak leishkach. He went into the house, the mouse went into the house, and the guy went and searched after the mouse, and he can't find the chametz. So now, what's the question? Did the mouse eat up the chametz or not? Or we have to assume no, search again because you got to find the chametz. Plukta rabbi meir v'rabbanan. It's on. We learned the Mishnah. Haya Rameir Aimer. Rameir used to say, there's a Mishnah actually, in towards the end of Nida. In Nida Daf Samach Aleph, says the Mishnah. Rameir used to say, Kol Vishbechas Tumah, anything which is the Chesas Tumah, Leilum B'tabasai, it remains in the Tumah, Ad Shiva Adulcha, Tumah Heichanu. Anything which is the Chesas Tumah, remains Bechas Tumah until you know where the Tumah left. So if you hear the Chametz certainly went in the house, and you don't know that it's gone, you gotta keep checking. The Chametz Baimer, that's what you would say, theoretically. The Chametz say, Bay the Kachbegil, the Sela, the Karka, Basula. The Chametz say that, you check till you get to the ground, the virgin ground, the bedrock. What's going on here? I should explain the case better. What's the case of Tumah? We're talking about there was Tumah that we know is buried in this area, in this field, in this garden, in this chutzar. And now you search, you're digging up, and you're not finding it. So how far do you have to dig? So the Chum say, as long as you get to earth that's hard, that's very hard, virgin earth that was never touched, or bedrock, where you know the mace can't be there anymore, once you get that far, you don't have to keep checking, because you know, once you did your checking and you don't find it, you don't say, since I know for sure it was there, it must still be somewhere. No, it's gone. I don't have to know why, how it's gone. It's gone. I don't have to worry about it. So to hear, once I check for chametz and I find it, I'd be okay. According to a mayor, perhaps you would think, again, Rashi's going to say the same chiddush just on the last quarter. According to a mayor, you'd say that no, until you find the item that made a bechesed tumah, you have to worry about the tumah. So here, presumably, if you know for sure the achbar born of chametz and you search and you didn't find it, look again because you have to find it. Says Rashi, no. Again, what we mean to connect is that over there is machlekes Rameir derabanan by tumah deraisa, whereas over here by bedika derabanan, everyone would agree like derabanan and say that once you checked, it's good enough. You don't have to check again. And it's okay. You don't have to worry that just because the achbar brought chametz in, it's for sure somewhere. No, you can say, I don't know how it's gone. Maybe the achbar ate it. Who knows how it's gone? But I checked and I don't have to worry anymore. Everyone would agree to rabbanan in our case. Olo batei veshkach. Next shaila. This is actually the opposite of the first case. Olo batei veshkach. What if he went in the house and he checked and right away he got lucky? He hit pay dirt. He found the cookie right away. Now, could he assume that it's the same cookie that the achbar brought in and not have to check the rest of the house? Or did he say, no, it's very good, he found the cookie right away. Maybe that was a new cookie. And maybe he still has to go check. You know, Tufi is eyeing on the cookie. So maybe he has to go check and search the rest of the house to see if there's the other cookie that there was perhaps a different cookie that the achbar brought in. Says the Gemara, oh, badai feshkach, plukta der abishim v'rablamil, that is the machlekes of Rishim Gomil that we had in the Braisa, Tanya, Sada, Shedev, Bakever, a field in which a grave has been lost. Hanichas HaKatami, one who goes into that field is Tamei, Nimtz Bakever. If you find a grave in that field, Hanichas HaKatar, and he avoided any that part of the field and went anywhere else in the field, then he started because he could assume the grave that was lost is the grave that was found. Shani Aimer, Kevashavik, who Kevashanimsa. The grave that was lost has the grave that was found. Divi Rebbe has Rebbe Shita. So here too, Cookie Sha'avad is Cookie Shanimsa. Chametz that the Achbar brought in is the Chametz that I found, and I need not search any further in the house. Shigamil Aimer, no. Tibadik calls it the cool, you gotta check the whole field, because we can't assume that just because you found a grave, that was a grave that was lost. Maybe that was a new grave, and maybe there's still another grave there. And the same token, in our case, you have to check the rest of the house, because maybe the chametz that was found is not the chametz that the achbar brought in, and therefore you'd have to check the rest of the bias according to Rishon Gamliel. According to Rebbe, you would not have to check the rest of the bias. You could assume the chametz that he found was the chametz that was brought in. Next case, hinich teisha matz aser. If a person put down 9 pieces and he found 10, he put down hinich teisha. So it was funny. Yesterday we thought we pointed out that we found a pretty basic makar for putting out 10 pieces. Again, it wasn't such a clear makar. Rav Murray was talking about a case in the end of the last one we quoted at the end of yesterday's daf on Tesson Bays. There, Rav Murray was talking about a case where a person put out 10 pieces, only found 9. We were discussing over there, right? It was relevant yesterday for the why in particular in these cases we're concerned about the being chametz, and we don't say that for sure that unless I know for sure with by seeing the achbar that he actually brought the chametz in, only that should be my bedika. But short of that, I shouldn't be worried about. Sorry. We connected to Mishnah Daf Yud, the Mishnah on the bottom of Beis Tei, which we're not going to see. The Mishnah at the bottom of Tei Zaman Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom of Amid, the Mishnah discusses that after you do Bedik, you have to put it away. You have to put away the pieces carefully, secure it, that the Achbar shouldn't get to it. And we have bothered that that we only worry about Achbar when we see the Achbar. If you don't see the Achbar, we don't worry about Achbar. In the Daf Seif, that was the Mishnah Daf Tes. So one of the answers we gave was, Rav Murray's answer was, that no, we're talking about where you're securing 10 pieces, we're scared you're going to find 9 the next day. If you find 9, that's as if you saw the Achbar, take it, be a dayim, as if you saw the Achbar itself, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. So we just pointed out, the number 10 is interesting. Why you say 10 pieces? It fits very well with the minig, the Ramah brings some 10 pieces in order that the bracha should be bracha levatala. We spoke yesterday that the Tas argues and says, no, Avada, the search of the Ramah really agrees in theory that if you make a bracha without putting out 10 pieces, you don't find any chametz, the bracha is for the search. You don't have to find pieces for it to be not a bracha levatala. And Tas says that Avada, the bracha is for the search. You don't need to have pieces. On the contrary, you should not put out pieces because it could lead to an issue. That was a machlokes yesterday from the Tas and the Magen Avraham. So this is actually, I think, it's the third day in a row, or maybe it's 3 days ago, where we had it, where we discussed that the reason why we picked the searching for the chametz with the nair, the source we brought was Yosef searching for the chapes veyimatzei, searching for the gviya in tachas binyamin. So we said back then also that from the Chabina Rav, why do you pick that case as opposed to love and searching for the trafim in last week's parsha? So we spoke out. The reason is because the Chabina Rav says because the searching of Yosef was searching for something they knew was there. The gviya was there, and so you search. It's a remiss to what we do, putting out pieces again, which fits very well with the Ramah. Again, it's also a remiss to putting out pieces. So here we have a case as well. Just the first words of the case. Haniach, he put 10, put out 9, or he put out 9 and found 10. What's this business of, well, who's putting out? Why is he putting out pieces? It would sound very much like a sort, again, like a remez at least for that. Again, it could just be he put out the pieces to eat for breakfast tomorrow. Nothing to do with B'dikas Chametz. But it does fit very well with our discussions for a minute. Okay, so says the Gemara case. Haniach teisha batza esrei, put down 9 pieces, found 10 pieces. Puk to Rabbi Rabbanon. What the lacha now is totally in the machlokes for Rabbi Rabbanon to tanya with the baisa. Haniach mana matz b'sayim. This is by Maisa Sheni monies. He put a mana into a box of Maisa Sheni money and he found 200. The shaila is, do we assume there's a separate 200? And he's missing the 100. The 100 of Maaseh Sheni is gone, which, find it, wherever it is, has it in Maaseh Sheni. But he can treat this 200 chulin. We say, no, 100 of it's the original Maaseh Sheni 100. And there's this 100 that you can say is chulin. Says Gemara, chulin of Maaseh Sheni moves up. Rebbe says you can assume that's a mixture of chulin and Maaseh Sheni. The Maaseh Sheni that was there remains, and there's chulin on top of it. So to hear, the 9 pieces that he found were from the original 9, and the 10th is the extra piece that he happened to find, but it's you don't have to assume that it's 9 new pieces, and he's got to go looking now. You don't have to assume it's 10 full new pieces, and he's got to go looking for the original 9. The Chamayim, Hakal Chul, Chamayim say, no, we look at all the money as if it's Chulin. It's different monies. You had 100, now you found 200. It's different monies, and you have to assume that the Chulin is gone, that the Maaseh Sheni is gone, and this is all Chulin. But in our case, that'll be a major Chumra, because in our case, you have to assume that you put down 9 and found 10, that the 9 pieces you put down are, again, unless he recognizes them, the 9 pieces he put down are elsewhere, and there's a new set of 10, and he's got to go searching to find out where the other 9 pieces, the original 9 pieces they put down, are, according to our Rabbanan, according to Rebbe, he could assume it's the original 9, plus 1 more, and he need not do any further searching. Next case, the opposite. Haniach Eser Matzatesha. He put out 10 pieces, and only found 9. Hainu Seifa, it's a Seifa of that same price, it's Zanya. Haniach Masayim put 200 Zuz, 200 Mana, 2 Manas, which is 200 Zuz. 2 Manas into the box. So Matzah Mana, and he found only 1 Mana. He found 100 of it. Only 50% of it was there. Mana Munach Mana Mutum. So we say, there were 200 Zuz of Maaseh Sheni money to begin with. Now mana is gone, but the mana that's left is still Maaseh Sheni Divrei Rebbe. The Chamayim Hakol Chul Cham say no, it's all Chulin. Meaning you assume everything that you put down is gone, and well, you finally hear something new. So same story. Now you put down 10 and found 9. Do you have to go look for only one piece that's missing? That's what Rebbe would say. According to the Bani, you have to go look for all 10 pieces. We assume that's a different batch of pieces of chametz, and you have to find his whole batch that he put down. Okay, top of a maze. Hiniach Bazavia Zoom.
In the last two cases.
I apologize. Just hold off, please, till afterwards. Hiniach Bazavia, which is very tight on time. Hiniach Bazavia, top of a maze. Hiniach Bazavia Zoom, Umatz Bazavia Acheres. If someone left Chametz in one corner of the house and he found it in another corner of the house, so he left Chametz, he knows he left it in the right, the front right corner, and he found it in the left corner. Plutum Shingle Meal Rabbanon. This connects to a very interesting machlekes of a Shingle Meal and the Rabbanon. How so? The Tanya. If an axe was lost in the house, habayis tamei. So basically, an axe was lost, and the assumption is that someone came and stole it. So what do we say? The whole house is tamei. Why? Shani Aimer, besides for it's adding insult to injury, besides for losing his axe, now everything's tamei. Why? Shani Aimer, I say, Adam tamei nichlas l'sham v'nalei. Who, a tamei person came into the house and took it. All of a sudden, we're assuming the person who stole it, besides being gone of his tamei, the answer is yes. The Mefarshim discuss this, and they explain that yes, that because the cheskas that a person, a regular person, star, is a regular person. Am aretz already is a tzad, a suffix that he always is tamei. A Russia who's stealing, we say for sure we have to be concerned that he's tamei. That is why, and there's a discussion already in the Rishayim about the Peshat, because Kesef Mishnah explains this in Rambam. Rambam brings the halacha, and Kesef Mishnah explains in the Rambam, even though we have a general klal that we assume people are tar, when it comes to a Russia who's a level lower than Amaris, we assume that he's tamei, and that's over here. That's over here. We're assuming that everything else is tamei. That is the shita of the Tanakama. Rav Shigumi Omer, no, habayis tarshin Omer shilat achar v'shakach. Rav Shigumi says, why are you getting so dramatic that someone stole it and the guy stole it's tamei? Yeah, if someone stole it, he doesn't disagree necessarily with the thought process that a ganav is probably tamei. But who says someone stole it? The guy's forgetting. He forgot that they borrowed it. That he lent it to someone, and if he forgot that it's out, and when it comes back, he's going to realize that the axe was just lent out. Oh, now look at he says another line over here. I should not or it was in one corner, moved to the other corner, he forgot that it was moved from corner to corner. Now, what does that help? Meaning, that last, the axe was missing, I first day. The fact that it moved from corner to corner, he forgot, that doesn't seem to be part of the conversation. It says Gemara, Zavis Manta Kajami, who mentioned anything about corner to corner? Gemara says, you're right, so first we elaborate on the Bryce, then we'll circle back to our case of Chametz. Chesu Mechaz Makatani, you have to go back to the Bryce and say, the Bryce, read it as if it has the following words. Karim Mishav, Habayas Tami, an axe that's lost from a house, is missing, house is Tami, Shadi, Adam Tami, Nichol Shadi, so far that's the same. Tanakama says, you see a ganav came in who was tummy and took it and he moved other stuff. We're not sure what else to touch the house. The last time becomes tummy. Aishaniach zavis. Now, next case. Aishaniach zavizu, matz zavizu, acheres. Or we say that the owner, in a case the owner left it in one corner and found in another corner, here's a really unique case. Habayas tummy, the house is vaitu going to be tummy. Again, we didn't have this case still now. Now we're seeing a new case and the Tanakama is in the house is tummy. Shani aimer adam tummy nichol sasham. A tummitic person came, vinalam zavizu, vinichol zavizu, acheres, and he moved it from one corner to the other corner. That's a really unique case. One thing, if the guy is stealing the card, there's a little bit of a plan over here. He's just, the guy comes into the house to move things around from side to side. What, just to play with the guy's mind? Very interesting case. Okay, but that's the concern. The concern is the guy came in, moved from place to place. He's still considered Rush, still considered a guy. And still, therefore, we have to be concerned about tumma of everything in the house, all the items in the house. That is the Tanakama. The house is tar. You know why? Shani Omer. I say, no ganav is involved over here. We're being overly concerned about intruders. The case was Hashila Achav Shakach. He lent it to someone probably and just forgot about it. Or he himself moved it and he forgot about it. Point is, getting back to our Shaila, where one left chametz in one side and he found chametz in another side. The Shaila was, can I assume it's the same chametz? It will be telling Namachlekes. According to Shigumil, yes, he thought he left it over there. He forgot he moved it, and therefore it's fine. It's the same chametz, and he need not go search the rest of the house. When it's going to Tanakama, you have to assume it's different chametz, and you have to go and search the rest of the house. Amarava. Achbar nichlas v'kikar pepiv. What if a mouse comes into the house with a loaf of bread in its mouth? And nichlas achbar matzah pirurin. Achbar came into the house with kikar. So now you know for sure, you got to check the house for chametz, not a shiloh. He came in with chametz into the house, everybody was checked. But you went and you found pieces. So you found the broken pieces, you have to crumbs on the floor. Tzarech bedika, do you need a further bedika? Do you say, I found the pieces of the chametz that the achbar brought in. Do I need more, check more or not? Says the Gemara, Tzarech bedika, meisha ain't darker shakwa the fire. Says Rava, statement, not a question, it's a statement. You have to continue to check because the derech of the achbar is not to drop crumbs. He doesn't leave crumbs. He's a very clean eater, and doesn't want to lose anything. And therefore, if you find crumbs, you could assume that the crumbs are from something else, and you still got to search for the cookie of the achmer. Vamer Rava. If a child comes into a house with a loaf of bread in his hand, and you find crumbs afterwards, this everyone knows. You can very well assume those crumbs came from the tinnik because the tinnik is not careful not to have crumbs. It's very much the derech of a tinnik to have crumbs, and therefore you can assume it came from the same loaf. Once you locate the loaf, whether it's the child finished eating it, and you found those crumbs, you don't need to worry that there's other source of chametz besides for the loaf. You can assume those crumbs came from the loaf, and therefore you don't need to do more checking. So, by Rav, now Rav has a shayla. What if a mouse goes to the house with a loaf of bread in the mouth? Achbar, yates v'kikubiv. And then a mouse came out with loaf of bread in its mouth. Mahu. An achbar, you saw him walk into the house with a mouse, with the loaf in his mouth. And then you saw an achbar leave the house with loaf in his mouth. The shail is, miyamin hainu hai da'al, hainu hai da'afak. Do we say, guy doesn't have such a clear tefias ayin to know if it's exactly the same mouse? Could he assume it's the same mouse? He doesn't recognize it, right? But could he assume it's the same mouse, the one that came in, one that came out, and therefore he doesn't have to check the house anymore? It was already checked, and the mouse took the chametz out with it. Or do we assume that there's heavy traffic over here? There's mice going in both directions, in the house with the loaf of bread, out of the house with loaf of bread, and if we got to assume that the mouse that went into the house with the loaf of bread is still there, the loaf of bread is still there, and it requires a further bradika. Imtim Tzuleimar. Some take out this girsa of Imtim Tzuleimar, because we know Rambam always passes like Imtim Tzuleimar, but some take out the girsa. We're going to read it, because we do have it over here. Imtim Tzuleimar, Hainu Dehaida Oil, Hainu Haida Nafak. If you say that the one that went in is the one that went out, Achbar Lavan Nichas V'Kikar B'Piv, V'Achbar Shachar Yates V'Kikar B'Piv. What if it's different colors? So it's clearly not the same house. A mouse mouse, white mouse went in with a loaf of bread in the mouth, and a black mouse came out with a loaf of bread in its mouth. So do we, what's the question? Do we say that you're right, it's clearly different mice, but maybe the loaf of bread is the same loaf? Mahu. Hai vada echwini. This is certainly a different mouse, and therefore I still have to be concerned about the chametz in the house. Aiduma arumi arumi. The black mouse, if it's interesting that we give the black mouse the negative connotation of stealing, of knocking away the knocking it away, he's meramim it from the white mouse, and he took it and he picked up the loaf and he took it out, and therefore still the same loaf. It's a different mouse, but it's the same loaf. That is the Gemara's second shayla based on the buildup of the first shayla. Vim tips lemer, and the third shayla is achbarim leshak lemedadi. If you said achbarim, don't take one for another. Achbarim, don't take one for another. So if the mouse that was white went in with a loaf of bread and a black mouse came out with a loaf of bread, we have to assume it's separate loaves of bread. In that case, you have to search the house. Achbar nichas v'kikar kapiv. What if the achbar went in the house with a kikar in his mouth? V'chulda yolda yatsa v'kikar pivia. And a weasel came out. Then we have to come back full circle back to the weasel. The weasel came out with a loaf of the bread in his mouth. The weasel is much bigger than the mouse. The chulda certainly can grab the loaf of bread for the mouse, and then if we consume the same loaf of bread, and you need not check the house, or right, we have to be concerned that it's a different loaf of bread.
We have to be concerned that it's a different loaf of bread. Because if you say that the weasel, the chulda, took the loaf of bread from the achbar, then the achbar would too be in the mouth of the weasel. They'd both be there. Okay, and therefore you could assume it must be a different loaf of bread. If we take the second side, that had the weasel taken the same loaf of bread that was originally in the mouth of the achbar, the weasel would now have in his mouth both the achbar and the loaf of bread together. So what's going to be in the following case? First, we're in the line, five lines off from the, six lines off from the white lines. Achbar nechus v'kikar b'fiv. The chulda. What if Taka the Achbar went in? The mouse went in with a kikar with some sort of chametz in his mouth. The chulda then comes out. The weasel comes out. The kikar the Achbar b'fi chulda. And when the chulda comes out, the weasel has in his mouth both the Achbar, the mouse, and the loaf of bread, but not that the bread is still in the mouth of the mouse. The weasel has in his mouth separately. It's going to be a key point. The mouse and the loaf of bread. Mahu. Hachavad iu, who we say, for sure it's the same chametz, and therefore you no longer need to be concerned about doing batik in this house. I don't know. Emisa diu in niu, if it would be the same loaf of bread that the mouse went in with it, this kikar, I call it a loaf of bread, but it could be a small piece of chametz, that the mouse went in with it inside of his mouth. So then, kikar b'fi achbar mishtakach, havi b'shtukachi, you should be finding the weasel with the mouse in his mouth, and the kikar, the chametz in the mouth, of the mouse. The fact that it's separate, that already could be an issue. I deal with the mer goes back and says, no, makes sense that it's separate. You know why? Because of the mouse's fear when it saw the weasel. So rightfully so, the weasel ended up chopping him. So therefore, the mouse dropped the kikar, the chametz. The weasel then picked up both the mouse and the chametz separately, so they're both in his mouth, but it's separate, but it's still the same loaf. We're not sure. Teku, we leave these shilas unresolved. Okay, three more quick shilas to the Mishnah. Bayu Rava, Kikar B'Shmeikar, Tzarech Sulam, Laibidu, Ein Tzarech. Let's say you have some chametz in the top of a beam high up, and you need, in order to access it, you need a ladder to get there. Are you mechuyev al tzbedika to bring a ladder and access it to take it away? Or are you not mechuyev? What's the shayla? There are no more matriach, so much to do bedika to go up, climb up to the beams, take it down. This loaf of bread is not coming down typically by itself. And the only way you're going to access it if you climb up there. We're not worried about you climbing up there to eat on Pesach. And therefore, bedika is not necessary. Aydilma, you never know what can happen. Zimna the nafal, at some point over time, maybe you could shift, a little bit of shaking, and the loaf, the chametz could fall off the beam by itself. Vas the michle, then we can be concerned. You have to know what type of condition it's going to be in, how long it goes up on top of the beams, but maybe you can come to eat it. Maybe it is a concern. Now, this should really go back to Machlekes, because we touched on this earlier in the year. Between Rashi and Taisus, what was the point of the Gzeira, the run of Vedika? Taisus learns, because you can find the Glissaki Alpha, and you may come to eat it. So even though you did Bittul, and the rice is not a problem, you may come to see a Geshmak, a piece of Chametz, Inan Pesach, and therefore, besides for the Bittul, you need to do Vedika. That's the basic idea. Taisus, if it's beautiful, this Gemara, that's the Shiloh, whether or not we're concerned you're going to come to eat it when it's up in a beam. According to Rashi, the concern is by Rabbi Yamat said that the Bittul may not be a full Bittul. If your mamish have Chametz, the Chametz is in good condition, and you're not going to continue in your matzah, your mindset, of bittul, maybe it'll be a problem of bayir by matzah. So a little bit more sure what thing we're making totally over here in the idea of achila. We have to clarify how Rashi is going to fit with this. You have to say, even according to Rashi, we spoke there earlier in the Masechta as well, Rashi could understand, even if the ikar concern was bayir by matzah, the way they were, the chazal, the rabbanon set up the gezeira is still a gezeira of bedika in a fashion of things that are potentially edible, perhaps. Okay, Vimtum Slam is imminent, but we have to get back to that point. Vimtum Slam is imminent enough, Vasimikla. Maybe the concern is that from a beam up high, it could fall down, and you may come to it, and therefore requires taking a ladder and doing Bediga. What about the other way? What if the kicker is down in a ditch? Do you need a ladder to go down and get it or not? Hachavade, gravity is not going to make it come out of the bar. Hachavade, Levit, and Salkam, and won't come out by itself. By itself means, obviously, it's an innate object, but it means even with gravity, it's not just going to fall out of a pit. It has to be raised up, and therefore should not be a concern. You don't have to bring the ladder. I don't more know. You're going to go into the pit to do your whatever needs you have, whatever usage you have in that pit. Come to eat it on Pesach itself. Last shayla. Sometimes he goes down to the pit for his needs. He potentially come to eat it on Pesach, and therefore it would require bedika even with the ladder, even down into the pit. Last case, kikar b'fi nachash, a kikar, a chametz, a loaf of chametz, a piece of cake in the mouth of a snake. Tzarech chaver, do you need a chaver? Chaver is like a snake, you know, expert, the snake whisperer. To lehitzi, you have to hire a snake whisperer to get the cake out of the mouth of the snake in order they should have chametz around. I ain't tzarech. You don't have to do it. Why wouldn't you have to do it? Because the Rabbanim made you with matriachas to do a chiyuv to do bedika with our bodies, aber b'mayin with our money. We have to spend money. Let your Rabbanim. They didn't make us spend money on bedika. I don't more know. Leishna may make no difference. Take Gemara leaves us a shayla. Taisus yes, we had a Gemara a few back that said when it came to a person renting a house and it was supposed to be badak because of badak and it wasn't badak. The Gemara ultimately came out and said a person would be nicha to do bedika with his money even if it's to pay someone else. Here we seem to be saying very clearly we have a shayla whether he uses money. Answer Taisus is very different because over here the whole thing's a doubt. The snake may eat it. He may devour the chal to begin with, and it may not be necessary to get a snake whisperer, and even if he doesn't eat it, he may take it out of the house. So since multiple reasons how the snake can get rid of the issue of chametz without having to come with a snake whisperer, maybe there we were much to spend money, that's where it's a separate shayla, but in general we know that people would spend money for bedikas chametz. Again, tomorrow back on Daf Dalet and Beis, we'll pick it up tomorrow from the Mishnah.